sky's so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
It's the KSL Greenhouse. Expert tips for flowers, trees, gardens, and soil. Our hosts are Maria Chaleos and Tawn Bettis on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Number to call and the phone lines are open at 801-575-8255. You can always text us your questions at 57500. Such a gorgeous day. A lot of people are going to be outside. One of the things we wanted to talk about this morning, the top of the hour feature, is renewal pruning. So first of all, Tawn, kind of describe why renewal pruning is a great thing to do, why it's important.
So when we plant shrubs, they oftentimes, unknowingly to us, get bigger than we want them to.
Very quickly.
Very quickly. Mm-hmm. And I see people, hey, I like lilacs. And so they find one in a cute little pot at the nursery that has the, you know, the pretty flowers, and they put it next to their house, not knowing that it will reach 12 feet tall.
It's going to be a tree.
It will. And yes. So there's situations like that. But then, especially if we like formal landscapes, we like hedges. And so our tradition is just go give those hedges a haircut. But in many shrubs, over 15 or 20 years, you do that too much, and it eventually kills the shrubs because they cannot collect enough. They can't collect enough of the sun's energy to support life. And so if you can imagine having a 3,000 square foot home on solar power, and you add another 2,000 square feet, but no more solar panels, and still try to run the home, that's what we're doing to the plants as they grow, because they get bigger root systems. And even though we're pruning them to 3 or 4 feet or whatever, they're increasing in mass underground and above ground. And if they don't have the leaves to support the system because of our constant pruning, they die. And so renewal pruning will help keep the size down of bushes that we don't shear. But even in hedges, if you use renewal pruning with light trimming, it will also keep them much healthier because they can produce a lot more leaves. And so renewal pruning, and we've discussed this several times on the program, but just to give a brief refresher, is to going inside the shrub, inside the canopy, and removing anywhere from 20 to 25% of the branches. And you always remove the biggest, oldest branches. And over a period of 3 or 4 years, you will not have a branch in there older than 4 or 5 years old. And so that will keep the size down. But what will happen when you use renewal pruning, and so you're leaving stubs inside the bush because you can't go clear to the ground, but there are buds on these stubs, and they generate more branches that will leaf out the entire length instead of just having leaves on the outside 3 or 4 inches. And because you have leaves on the entire length of the branch, they can continue, and, you know, going back to that solar panel reference, they've got a lot more leaf surface to support the system, and they stay healthy.
Mm-hmm. So what are the bushes that need this type of pruning?
Almost all of them will respond well to renewal pruning. So there's the ones that won't are boxwood. You know, it's just especially the compact ones are so small that they seem to tolerate shearing just fine as long as you're not doing too much. But with the exception of something like boxwood, all of them respond well to renewal pruning. Now, the other thing that renewal pruning will do is not only keep the size down, but it will create a lot more flowers on shrubs, whether they bloom in the spring or in the summer. And so if you have spring flowering shrubs, and we've referenced lilacs, but there's also snowball bush and forsythia and many others, mm-hmm. when you will use renewal pruning is right after they're done flowering. And so as soon as those flowers look spent and they're still on the branches is when you would go in and renewal prune them. Because if they are spring blooming, those flower buds are produced within 2 to 4 weeks of the old flowers being spent. And so if you do that pruning soon, you will get a lot more flowers than you would have pruning in March or later in the summer, to where you'd be cutting flower buds off. If they're summer blooming, you know, and the best example we have is Rose of Sharon, then those will bloom off new growth. And so when you go in and renewal prune, because there are no branches in the bush older than 5 years old, the branches that are between 1 and 4 year olds will produce a lot of new growth and you'll get a lot more flowers.
So what if you have something like a euonymus that you've had for 30 years and you've never done this kind of pruning? You've got some pretty hefty stalks. Can you still start doing that on
you those? Can. There's a couple of options to cut those branches out. And you don't need to go clear to the base. You just get as close to the base as you reasonably can. And you actually want to leave some stubs in there because they have dormant buds that will generate new branches. And so on shrubs that have been there, whether they're euonymus or lilacs that have been there for years and never pruned, you still remove about 20 to 25% of the branches. And you just take the biggest ones out and you start that process. And I have pruned lilacs using this method that were 10 to 12 feet tall, and I brought them down to 6 feet. And you would have never known they were pruned.
Slowly, though, like not over a couple years.
Yeah, but the first time you prune, you'll reduce the size by at least
that
a third.
Far. Okay.
And you won't know you pruned.
That's always a good thing.
When I say that, that's a good thing because it maintains the natural look of the bush. You're not going through a hedged look on many of her bushes. And so if you use the renewal pruning, it just maintains a more natural look and it maintains a lot more leaves. So your leaf surface area is increased. And remember, those leaves are really efficient solar panels. That's what they literally are. And they're using that electron exchange instead of generating electricity. They're undergoing photosynthesis and producing sugar. And so the more leaves you have, the healthier the plant.
And again, the best time to do that on flowering plants after they bloom.
Yeah, so spring flowering plants as soon as they're done blooming, summer flowering plants in mid-March.
Okay, so it'll be almost time. All right. Anything else about renewal pruning people need to know?
I think those are the basics. It can be a little scary your first time, but if you just take out 25% of the branches and just get the biggest ones, you're done.
All right. Number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500, and you can find out more about renewal pruning. There's a great article on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. Good morning. Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you this morning, taking your calls 801-575-8255, or you can text us at 57500. Our next listener, Ton, is asking if there is such a thing as resistant sod to necrotic ring spot. We know that tortures people, but is there such a thing?
Well, if they're trying to buy sod, I don't know of anyone growing a necrotic ring spot resistant sod.
Mm-hmm.
If they are just wanting seed, I know that local retailers will sell it. I know Steve Regan has a mix. They just call necrotic ring spot resistant grass.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't need to get that complicated because turf type tall fescue is resistant to necrotic ring spot or immune depending on the variety. And the ryegrasses that you will find in a lot of mixes are also either resistant or immune. And so we see a lot more necrotic ring spot today because we have shifted away from using a mix of rye and fescue and bluegrass together toward 100% bluegrass. And because bluegrass is so susceptible to it, we see it rear its ugly head a lot more than we did 30 or 40 years ago. But there are necrotic ring spot resistant Kentucky bluegrass varieties, and you can jump on the internet and do an internet search and find those. And then there's oftentimes vendors that you can purchase them from. But the simplest thing to do in your problem areas is just get turf type tall fescue and top dress now or just whenever you need to. And the newer turf type tall fescues look and act like Kentucky bluegrass. And they mow the same and they're just as soft. And so I would just top dress with those if you can't find anything.
Okay. Next listener planted some laurel bushes last August and they say that they look mostly brown. They're wondering if you think they're dead or they, can they save them and how?
Well, they may have winter scorched and I would leave them alone because there's a good chance they will re-leaf. But I'm wondering if they were planted in too much sun. Laurels. And there are several things called laurel, but what we're referring to is cherry laurel or English laurel. It's Prunus laurel ceratus. It's related to cherries. And it's a bush, and there's several varieties out there, but because they're evergreen, they need to be planted where they get afternoon shade, because if the soil freezes and the leaves heat up, they actually are undergoing some photosynthesis because they're not completely dormant. And that will evaporate water or force water through transpiration out of the leaves. And because that water isn't being replaced from the roots, the leaves scorch and fall off. And so when we grow these broadleafed evergreens, they generally need to be planted in afternoon shade.
But they should wait to see.
They should wait. I'd give it until probably June.
Okay.
They can scratch the bark also where the leaves were. And if the scratch the bark with a fingernail and if it's green underneath, then there's hope.
Okay. Cindy is on the line in Linden. Good morning, Cindy. What was your question this morning?
Good morning. Last year, I thought about not having a garden this year. I have quite a large garden area because I'm going to be traveling. And then my neighbor let their weeds grow about 5 feet tall. They're kind of a sticky weed. And so this year, I have thousands of little weeds coming up in that garden spot, which makes me know I don't want to plant a garden this year. My question is, do I do a clear plastic or a dark plastic? Do I do it? When do I do it? Is there a way? Should I kill the millions of little seedlings I have coming up in there now? What's the best plan?
And you are not going to garden this year?
Right. I am not going to.
Well, I would kill those off so they don't go to seed, but if you're not afraid and your soil's moist and there isn't a lot of brown plant material in there, the easiest way to get rid of those is actually a weed torch. You know, it's cool enough, the soil's moist, that you can pick one up for $50 or $60 with a propane cylinder, or you can actually get them where those little green cylinders will fit on to them. And you don't need to burn them to a crisp. You just need to wilt them for a few seconds. But you could just go through there with a weed torch and kill everything without having to use an herbicide. But then sometime mid to late April, after we've dried out and warmed up a bit, you would stretch clear plastic because it heats up a lot more. And you want to put where you have a seam, you want to overlap at least a foot and peg it down every 6 inches or so with landscape staples. And then all the edges are going to be covered with soil or heavy timbers or rocks or something so that it's sealed up. But if you do that, it'll cook all summer and you'll have sterile soil. Now, this is something that can be somewhat damaging to the soil. And so when you're done, you will want to go in the fall and put down 2 or 3 inches of compost and till it into the soil to help rejuvenate the soil.
Okay. Perfect. And can I ask one other question while I got you? I haven't been listening this morning because I've been to a dance competition. Is it time to use like Preem or an emergent type thing?
No, it's too early. The winter and early spring blooming weeds or germinating weeds have already done so. And so the next opportunity is just get those cleaned up and then you can put it down. But I would shoot for some time in April.
April. Okay. All right. What about the iron? Is that what we put down now?
EDDHA iron. I would give it another 2 weeks.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you so much for your help.
All right, Cindy. Thanks for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, was listening as we were talking about renewal pruning. They're wondering about whether you do that with a spirea They say they have one is quite large with blossoms that grow on stems that look dead. Can they whack it clear down for all new growth?
That's called rejuvenation pruning. When you cut it within 18 inches of the ground and just let it grow back for 2 or 3 years, they definitely can do that. If they want to use a renewal pruning, I imagine it's probably bridal wreath or Van Hoot spirea. These are the white ones that kind of weep down. Mm-hmm. Because there's so many spireas, it just depends. But the bridal wreath and Van Hoot spirea bloom on one-year-old wood. And so you would let it bloom and then go in. And in the combination with renewal pruning, you could use the 3Ds. Dead and diseased wood come out, and then dumb branches. But the dumb branches will be the ones that are really old. And so you take 25% of those out.
Next listener is wondering about whether they need to prune two-year-old lilac trees.
Not necessarily. Should. I would let them grow. And once they bloom, you might be able to use some heading cuts to just kind of bush them out a little bit. As soon as they're done blooming, you can give it a light haircut and just prune here and there to improve the form. But it's not as critical yet.
Okay. Keith is on the line in Payson. Good morning, Keith. What was your question?
Yeah, I called in, maybe a month ago, and I've got some almond trees in my backyard, and they shed literally thousands of almonds every year. I was thinking about maybe starting a Payson Almond Growers Association, but there'll only be one member. But anyway, so can those trees, I know they're rare, right? You don't have almond trees around here.
They're here and there, but it's really spotty.
Right. Can those be, I kind of want to get rid of them because they're almost just destroying my lawn. You know, I mean, that's a do shed and kill the grass. Are they climatized for here? Can I dig them up if somebody might want them or something?
If they
maybe?
Were
Can they
young,
be transplanted?
You could, but if they're several years old, not really, no.
Okay, they're probably 5 or 6, I'd imagine. I know at least 4. That's probably too old.
Yeah,
now,
and they're
right?
probably too old, and unfortunately, they're just planted in the wrong spot for that. Okay. So, I've heard of people knocking the blossoms off with, like, they'll spray a 2% dormant spray when the blossoms are on, and that will scorch them, and so they won't produce fruit. But then you lose the pretty blossoms. And at that point, almonds are so closely related to peaches that the wood's probably good for smoking meat or something.
No, okay, because I don't necessarily want to lose them, but I can't just sit here and have killed lawn.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing you could do is put some sort of weed barrier under the trees that would also kill the grass, and you could then use it and just kind of, almost like a net, scooch them into a central location and shovel them up or something. It's kind of a shame, but if they're killing the lawn and you're not using them, then you need to do what you need to do.
Right. Right here. Okay. Thank
All
you
right,
very much.
Keith, thanks for your call. Yep. Next sister wants to know, does the renewal pruning work on Wigalia?
It does. And you absolutely need to do it because they will get floppy and ratty looking if you don't.
All right. We need to take a break. When we come back, Chad, you're up next in Riverton. Number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us, 57500.
The Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning, taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. People are ready to plant and garden, do all sorts of things, Ton. Our next listener wants to know, where's the best place to plant rhubarb?
In sun, where it has room.
sun.
I don't know what else to say.
I
wasn't trying to be like snarky or anything, but I mean, some place that has full sun. And
full sun for how many hours a day?
At least 8 hours, between 6 and 8 hours. And it's going to grow to 3 or 4 feet high and wide. Mm-hmm. So it does need some room. But other than that, there isn't a specific spot in the yard that is best for rhubarb.
Okay. Chad is on the line in Riverton. Good morning, Chad. What was your question?
Good morning, guys. Appreciate your service. So my backdoor neighbor has a mature cottonwood tree. I'm pretty certain that it's a cottonless variety. Last year, a sucker came up in a pretty good area, pretty good place. Is it worth letting that go to grow a tree to maturity, or is that just a bad idea?
How much room do you have?
quite a bit.
Okay. Because that cottonwood tree is going to get 50 to 70 feet high and wide. And so, you know, if you work outside a lot and measure a lot of things, you can kind of get how big that is. But if you were to measure off, you know, if you have room for a 50 to 70 foot tree, you could leave it. To keep it healthy, you're going to need to deep water it once a week to a depth of 18 to 24 inches. We make a mistake with cottonwoods, and they can be, not that they're going to be centenarian trees, but they can be very long lived if they get sufficient water and be somewhat resistant to pests and diseases. The ones that go down quickly are usually drought stressed.
Yeah. Okay. And it did really well last year where it was at, and it's about 5 feet tall, just sprouting last year. So.
And so I would do some early pruning just to kind of train it and make sure you have a good canopy. But cottonwood trees oftentimes get surface roots, and so you won't be able to mow around it very easily 10 to 15 years down the road. They, if they're not pruned up a little bit, can get so, the shade is so dense that they can kill the lawn underneath, and they're quite messy. And because they'll always have dropping branches. One of the ways they propagate themselves is by dropping live branches into rivers and lakes. And when those float up against a stream bank, they very easily root out. And so you need to be aware of the shortcomings of the tree and make sure that they're not going to potentially fall over on a house or a shed or a neighbor's yard. Right. But if you can factor those things in, and keep it watered once a week to a depth of 18 inches, then it will last for 30 to 50 years.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I hadn't thought about all those, all the negatives, but great. I appreciate your show. And that gave me a lot of good information.
It's not necessarily that it's negatives. It's just the nature of the tree.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of situations that people plant cottonwoods that they provide wonderful shade. But it's just one of those things that they're probably not going to live longer than 50 years. They can if they're well watered. But it's just you need to be aware of all of the limitations before moving forward. And if you can handle those, then, leave it.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your time, and thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, Chad. Thanks for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, wants to know, they have 3-year-old serviceberry trees, and they're wondering how to approach pruning them.
Serviceberry trees, so they're not the bushes. I just had, took me a minute to process things
to
in my
muddled
brain. Okay. But I would just let them grow and use the 3Ds again, the dead branches, diseased branches, and dumb branches. If they're just growing them ornamentally, which I suspect they are, not for the fruit, I would just let them grow. And if they get crossing branches or, like, say, two trunks close to each other, prune those out. But don't take more than 20% of the branches out in a given year.
All right. Jane is on the line in Salt Lake City. Good morning, Jane. What was your question?
Yes. I go to the grocery store and get these little 4 or 5 inch cucumbers, about 1 inch diameter, that my kids love. I've looked all over for seeds for those and can't find them. Are they available? Are they impossible to grow here? Or
well, it could be that they're just being picked at that size.
I don't think so. They're like a cocktail cucumber.
Are they?
Yeah. They've been very popular this year, like at Costco.
I was born in a barn, so I haven't really seen them.
Yeah, they're great. The kids love them. They just eat them by the handful without cutting them or anything. And whenever I've grown cucumbers, they've gotten big and bitter and things, so I haven't been too successful with the regular ones.
I would need to know more about the variety, because if we knew the variety, yes, you can grow them here. And they probably are picking them small, even though they're a certain variety with certain qualities. They don't just stop growing, and they will get 6 inches or a foot long if you let them. It's just that they're being clipped at that size.
Yeah, they don't look like the pickling cucumbers that you can buy.
No, they don't look like those. And they've got, they're very, the seed area in the middle is very small. It's not a big one like the bigger
I think
ones.
They're being picked small, and they could be what are called parthenocarpic cucumbers, where I don't know, we don't really need to get into that, but they could be a greenhouse variety where they're intentionally, you don't need a pollinator, and so they intentionally pick them small.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I've grown a lot of cucumbers, and I've never seen them look like that when they were small. They were always fatter than this. But I'll keep an eye out and see what I can find out, and I appreciate your help. Thank you.
All right, Jane. Thanks so much for your call today. Next listener would like to know best way to protect flowers and bushes from deer.
Fences.
I hate this. I know the deer are taking over my yard.
There's
too.
Just not another solution. People want, well, what doesn't cost so much? The only other thing you can do is spray every week to 2 weeks with
every time it rains, deterrent,
or irrigate, and you need to switch up what you're using. There are repellents out there, but you need to rotate them so the deer don't become used to them.
Next listener would like to know, they have a Rose of Sharon that looks like a Dr. Seuss bush. Can they cut it back to around 18 inches, or should they just replace it?
You know, if they can, depending on its age, it would take a few years to regrow into something. But if it's misshapen for some reason, I would just get a Sawzall or something similar out and just cut it back. It's called rejuvenation pruning, and that's where you're ready to take it out and you're giving it a last chance to regrow.
All right, we're going to take a break, come back with more of your calls and your questions. Steve, you are up next. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us, 57500. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Anton with you. Number to call, 801-575-8255 for this last segment. You can text us your questions at 57500. Steve is on the line in Murray. Good morning, Steve. What was your question?
Good morning. My question today is on Bermuda grass. I have some in my lawn. It's kind of starting to take over, and I'd like to know how to get rid of it.
Well, are you a patient person?
I'll say yes, though others may disagree.
Okay. Well, what I would suggest, and if it's not too widespread, is getting a couple of different products. There's one made by BioAdvanced, and it is called Bermuda Grass Killer. Now, that name is more of a suggestion and a long-term goal than just an instant Bermuda Grass Killer, but it will work over time. And then the other one is called Turflon Ester, and it's spelled TurflonEster. And it has a product called Triclopyr in it that also suppresses the Bermuda.
You have to spell that one for me.
Yeah, so it's just Turflon Ester, TurflonEster, and that's the name of the product.
Okay.
So what you'll do is when the Bermuda grass starts growing in the spring, and it'll probably be into late May, you would spray maybe with a Turflon Ester once. And then during the summer, you switch over to the BioAdvanced Bermuda Grass Killer and spray July, August. And if it's still going, maybe in September, switch back to Turflon Ester.
Okay, and what was the name of that first one again? BioAdvanced
Bermuda Grass Killer.
Okay. Now, what about what I call the nuclear option, digging up the lawn and replacing it? How far down would I have to go?
Do that unless you kill the lawn first with Roundup. Because you'll leave seeds and sprouts and sprigs, you need to kill it all out, and then I would go back in late August late August with grass seed or sod. So because Bermuda grass won't germinate at that point, and get your new sod going, and then you'd have to use pre-emergent through actually not only the spring, but then you'd have to reapply sometime in late June to prevent the seed from germinating that's in the soil.
Okay. How do these other products work with Kentucky Blue?
Kentucky Bluegrass tolerates it. And so if you overapply, you can damage, but if you follow the instructions, Kentucky Bluegrass is tolerant of both the Bermuda Grass Killer and Turflon Ester. Turflon Ester is actually a broadleaf weed killer, and so it'll go after dandelions and other broadleaf weeds in your lawn.
Okay. Would it be okay to use that with, the IFA I use the IFA treatment, which works really good for as far as the lawn is concerned.
I would probably, you could, but you might, if you don't have hard to kill weeds, you could probably get away with turf lawn ester. It would take 3 or 4 weeks for it to kill those broadleaf weeds, but it would do the job.
Okay. All right. That's great. I'll follow up with that and see how I do this year.
All right, Steve. Thanks for your
call
this morning.
It's going to take a couple of years, so just keep that in mind.
Oh, okay. Well, I've been working on it for a couple of years anyway, so I'll try it.
All right, great. Thanks for your call. So spraying Roundup on grass, can we do that now? Or do we have
No, the grass needs to be actively growing, and so that's one thing.
Well, it's coming up.
And so if it's actively growing and coming up, but then you want temperatures to be consistently in the mid-50s.
Okay.
So next week, maybe, you know, it's just barely getting warm enough, but giving it another couple of weeks would be better. The advantage at this point to using Roundup mm-hmm. on grasses is that in lawns, sometimes your weedy grasses like the pasture fescue and a few others come up 2 or 3 weeks ahead. And if your lawn grass isn't actively growing, you can kill those out and not harm your lawn grass as much.
Okay, I have an answer for you on the small cucumbers that lady was talking about, the cocktail type cucumbers. They are widely available. They are called Mini Me on many of the websites. So if you look at, let's see, Harris Seeds, they call them Mini Me. If you look at Park Seed, they're calling them a baby hybrid cucumber, but the seeds are widely available if that's what you'd like to buy.
Nice. Maybe I'll have to order some.
I think I might too. Next person would like to know, if you don't have heavy traffic on your lawn, should you aerate? How often now? This is the question.
If there isn't heavy traffic and the pretty much the only traffic is getting from mowing, then you can aerate every 2 to 3 years if you have a clay soil. Otherwise, if it is a loam or a sand, you may never need to aerate.
Okay. Next listener says, is there a miniature version of Rose of Sharon?
Yeah, there are several. I would look at Proven Winners website, and there a lot of them are available locally, but there are columnar Rose of Sharon and miniature Rose of Sharon that get 3 to 4 feet. I'm growing one called Lil' Kim. That is a white flower with a purple middle, but there are pink ones and I believe lavender ones out there too.
Okay, just 30 seconds left in the show. I want to thank everyone for listening. And if you weren't listening earlier today, the plant of the week was the magnolia. You can find out more about that on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page, as well as the 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock hour features. 9 o'clock, we talked about the cool season vegetables, and 10 o'clock, renewal pruning. And as always, you can catch this show in podcast form at kslpodcast.com. Have a great Saturday, Tom.
You have a great Saturday also.
All right. Thanks again for being with us. Enjoy your day.